Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in on this Tuesday edition of the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Warkey. We are live. I did not think I was going to get home in time from Oxford tonight, but we are live and glad to be with you. This will be a shorter one because it's been a long day. I'm exhausted and I got to get up and do it again tomorrow, but that is okay. I will be right back to Oxford tomorrow. Tomorrow is when you guys, or today, as most of you, like 99% of you, are listening to this, is when you can actually come and come to the library, because that's where we'll be doing the radio show. And we got some stuff to give you if you show up, including some pretty sweet Super Talk hats that Richard, political commentator Richard Cross, sent me earlier. He's the one that did all the work on those. And man, they look good. And Keith Carter's going to come sit with us. Walker Jones is going to come sit with us. Chris Malloy. We are scheduled also to visit with Mark Adams as well. So going to be a full show, and we got some stuff to give you. So come see us. But glad that you guys are here. Again, I'm just getting home from Oxford, and I will say this. So as you guys know, the home base for Super Talk Mississippi is in Jackson. And so that's where I'm based, because that's when I got the job, they moved me to Jackson, as you can imagine. So, you know, we do have stations in every corner of the state, all 12 of them. And it's an awesome network with a huge reach and powerful signals that literally cover every county of the state. The only downside, of course, as you guys know, is that I do live here. And so when it comes to Ole Miss things, I'm not there every day. I don't live there. I live here. I love living here. It's a great place to live, but I don't live in Oxford, so I don't see it every day the way that some of you guys do. And boy, has that place changed a lot. And especially the campus, which is really where I spent most of my time today anyway. Just kind of got to town, went to campus. We did the show on campus and then kind of got in the car and left. I was there 11 years ago was my last year. My senior year was 11 years ago. That campus has changed a lot. And it was a nice-looking campus. Like, it was an attractive, aesthetically pleasing campus when I went to school there. It is beautiful now in ways that it was not when I was there. The new student union looks really good. The that STEM building right across from Vaught Hemingway. Finally, that area being done was something that looks as nice as that. Looks outstanding. So the building that we were in today, oh gosh, what was it? The School of Applied Sciences, I believe, was the building. But Magnolia Drive is where it was off of. And so if you're walking or driving down Magnolia Drive, and to the right is the tennis facility, and to the left were those buildings. When I was in school, they were just kind of run down and condemned, and those have been completely flipped, and they look beautiful. Whoever's been in charge of the aesthetics of campus over the last 10 years, I mean, like, I've been back. I go as much as I can, of course, for various reasons, but you see more of it when the students aren't there as well. And man, it has gone from good to great, in my opinion, from the way it looks. I mean, just absolutely stunning. And they're still doing more projects, right? They're building new things and all that. But from 2014, when I left, to 2015 now, it looks so much better. It really does. So kudos to everybody involved in that, because, man, it is not how I remember it when I was a student there anyway. So just decided to throw you guys a shout out tonight. Why not? Again, this is the Rebel Report. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Just search for Rebel Report and leave a rating and a review if you like what you hear. And again, I really appreciate you guys being here. Leave a like, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff right here on YouTube as well. And before we get to it, I want to tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online. Let me start over. Let me just here. Let's stop being live. Let's reset. Long day. Podcast is brought to you in part by Toyota of Brookhaven. Check them out online at toyotaofbrookhaven.com. And they're off of exit 40 in Brookhaven. I would encourage you guys to experience the same thing I did when dealing with Toyota of Brookhaven. And it is a car buying experience from people that will actually take care of you like you are a real person and not just dollar signs. They're not going to work one over on you like a different dealership in Mississippi did to me not too terribly long ago. They also have an outstanding service department, one of the highest rated in the state, open 7 to 7. So if you live in the area and need your car serviced, any make or model, also a great used selection, in-house financing, and more, Toyota Brookhaven will deliver for you. So the coaches poll came out. The AP poll will come out on Monday of next week. So you got coaches poll this Monday. AP poll is going to come out next Monday. And I'll just run through it quickly before we talk about where Ole Miss lands on it. Texas won. I predicted that. Hey, that didn't believe me. I thought Texas was going to be number one. And at least according to the coaches, they are. Ohio State 2. So the season opener will be 1 versus 2. Penn State 3. Georgia 4, Notre Dame 5, Clemson 6, Oregon 7, Alabama 8 over LSU. I was surprised by that. LSU 9, Miami 10, Arizona State 11, Illinois 12, South Carolina 13, Michigan 14, Ole Miss 15, SMU 16, Florida 17, Tennessee 18, Indiana 19, Kansas State 20, A&M 21, Iowa State 20, A&M 21, Iowa State 21 also because they tied in votes, but we'll call it 22. BYU 23, Texas Tech 24, and Boise State 25, with Oklahoma, the first team out, quote-unquote, and Missouri, the second team out. So 26 and 27, if you want to count it that way, go to Oklahoma and Missouri, of course, out of the SEC. I believe it was USA Today, describe our list, Ole Miss, as one of the group of teams that was overrated in the coaches poll. They also called Ohio State the reigning national champion, who has possibly the best offensive and defensive player in the sport on their team and an elite roster with high-caliber NFL players at every position on the field. They called them overrated as well, which blew my mind. They had Tennessee overrated at 18, A&M overrated as the 21st ranked team, and then BYU overrated at 23. But Ole Miss was listed among the most overrated. Is that true? Do you think that they are? On one hand, just on the surface, it's like, oh, 15 with all that they lost? Yeah, absolutely they're overrated. It's easy to say that until you look at the teams around them. Michigan immediately in front of Ole Miss, for example. Not particularly. What's so interesting about Michigan is they were not good until they beat Ohio State and Alabama to end their season last year. So two really good wins to end the year. But that was a team that had a ton of NFL talent on it. They lose that. I guess a true freshman quarterback is going to be their starter there. I am totally unsold on Sherrone Moore, and I think everybody else should be as well. That's one spot ahead of Ole Miss's Michigan. They have a lot, if not more, questions than Ole Miss does. Their biggest question is at head coach, I think. South Carolina, two spots ahead of them, is a team that Ole Miss beat by 3 scores in their place last year. Arizona State, all the way up at number 11, their best player is gone. And man, if you look at what he's done at Giants camp, it's clear that that is a rather significant loss. Behind them, SMU, good record a year ago, didn't belong in the playoff, and their performance proved it. Florida at 17. Florida closed the season last season well, lost some guys again, quarterback often injured, questions about head coach. Tennessee loses quarterback. Indiana, my gosh, I mean, that's what we're talking about in the immediate vicinity around Ole Miss. So you can't call them overrated unless you want to have a conversation about everybody else around them. This is a season and really a poll that indicates that that area of college football, there's a lot of doubt and ambiguity and teams replacing things. And somebody's got to go somewhere. So if you're going to list Ole Miss is overrated, USA Today, are you saying that, Indiana belongs in front of them? Does Kansas State belong in front of them? Florida did beat Ole Miss last year, so you could put them there, I guess. But on what planet would SMU belong in front of them, even with what Ole Miss is replacing? Not this one, not the one that we live on, anyway. What is Iowa State somebody that's behind them that you think should be in front of them? So it's so easy to just slap an overrated label on somebody until you look at the poll and look at who's around them and see, okay, if not them, then who? Right? So I don't think so. I think that there it's a totally fine ranking because everybody else in that area also has a ton of questions and they haven't proven it yet. That's why it's a preseason poll. But more importantly, the thing that you really should take away from this is, again, with these preseason polls, again, you'll get the AP next week, and we'll have the same conversation on Tuesday of next week as well. With this poll, you see validation, right? This is an Ole Miss program that before Lane Kiffin would not be given the benefit of the doubt in the same way that this team is being given the benefit of the doubt. They lose a three-year starter at quarterback who was a first-round pick. Their running back room, even though it was a bad one, they lose it. They lose three of their four leading wide receivers. They lose one of their tight ends. They lose the entire defensive line, an All-American linebacker, a second-round pick at cornerback that should have been a first-round pick, and he's probably going to start day one for the Commanders. Your entire defensive backfield all gone. And so when you lose all that much and you're a program that does not have the same historical success as others, and you still get a preseason ranking at number 15 with an unproven quarterback, a lot of youth on or inexperience or new faces on defense, that is validation. And frankly, Ole Miss has been about the number 15 program in college football over the last 4 years. You could argue better, but they've certainly been in that neighborhood anyway. And so if they've been so consistent over the last 4 years, what indication do you have that makes you think that they're not going to be that again in 2025? When you are in that same region basically 4 years in a row, then what justification do you have to say this time it's not going to work? I don't think there is one. So anyway, overrated? No, that's right around where I would put them, to be honest. A lot of questions, a lot of doubt, a lot of talent. Head coach and defensive coordinator, until proven otherwise, have earned over the last few years the benefit of the doubt when it comes to preseason rankings and program expectations and output. So there you go. Podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. Tell them that I sent you and you'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. You tell them what you need and what your budget is for your business, and they will find a solution for you on me, absms.com. Also, Priority One Bank, they make you their priority every day with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop. You just need an internet connection. You can do whatever it is that you need to do with your money. Also, local loan servicing and decision-making with those 16 locations here in Mississippi. No better place to bank than with Priority One Bank. So does the AP poll release in like a week? Yes, it does, a week from Monday. Not sure if they're overrated, but think they're going to be better than South Carolina and Illinois. I think Illinois is the off-season darling, and they're going to fall back to earth in 2025. The odds makers and the like the analytics, the algorithms and stuff don't like Indiana as much as the pundits do. Or excuse me, not Indiana, Illinois. As much as the pundits do. I mean, you've got people there talking about playoff team, and I don't see that personally, and here's why. They go to Duke in week two. They go to Indiana in week four. They have to play USC, Ohio State, at Washington, and at Wisconsin. Now, luckily for them, Otherwise, in the Big Ten, it's pretty darn easy. They have to go to Purdue. They've got Rutgers and Maryland and Northwestern at home. So there's a chance that they stack some wins against some bad teams. They don't draw Oregon. They don't draw Michigan. They don't draw Penn State. And again, Ohio State is in their place. But people keep saying two things, that Illinois is going to be this year's Indiana, which they're starting out ranked, so that doesn't really track. But two, I have a feeling that team is not going to be a playoff team. They are going to lose to Ohio State. They definitely can lose more than one of these at Duke, USC, at Washington, at Wisconsin, for sure. And I think that's ultimately going to happen. Just want to mention the student ticket situation was a nightmare today. Yeah, I saw some of the Keith Carter tweets about it. It's tough. That's absolutely tough between the Grove tent rollout situation and now that it's logistics have not been the. This has not been a banner year for them rolling things out there. I was kind of surprised. Ole Miss was 15. Shows the respect the program is getting. Absolutely. Entire area around the vault is significantly better. Yeah, now that building, I mean, ideally you would just tear it down and build it back up. But you most definitely, since that's not really in the cards, from one corner of the south end zone to the other, it needs a total facelift. Like whatever those bars are that are hanging above the studio, I guess they're holding speakers or whatever, on either side of the big video board, just hideous. So I guess that would be the east side. The back of the east side is just hideous. It needs a facelift as well as, I mean, just a total gutting. But yes, the area around it with the pavilion being on one side and now the buildings across the street being done. And they've just kind of made all of that look cleaner and nicer. It's really good. South Carolina and Miami are overrated in this poll. Let's see. South Carolina was 13 and Miami 10. Yeah, Miami especially could be. South Carolina this year, I mean, obviously they have to go to Ole Miss. They have to play Clemson, although that's at home. I mean, they have to go to Missouri in week four. That's not easy. They have to go to Baton Rouge as well. They have to go to A&M. They open with Virginia Tech, but I'm not totally convinced that that will be. Overly difficult for them. You might disagree, but I think Alabama is going to be better than LSU and beat them in Tuscaloosa as well. Interesting. I don't hate that. I really don't hate that. I don't hate that at all. Kalen DeBoer did not take Washington to the national championship by accident. Who starts for the Saints and the Giants? The Giants, it's already Russell Wilson. That was established at the start of training camp. Russell Wilson's the starter for the Giants. If Jackson Dart plays, it's because of injury or the team is bad, and as the season goes, they decide to turn it over to the rookie. But Jackson Dart cannot win that job right now. He will not be the starter right now. For the Saints, it sounds like it's Spencer Rattler at the moment. He has been better, according to the reporting, in training camp than Tyler Shuck. There's still three preseason games. There's still a lot of things that can happen between now and then. But, yeah, there is apparently a very clear gap between the two at the moment. Tennessee's overrated. They'll lose four or five games. If Kyle McCord was still at Syracuse, that season opener would be a lot more interesting. I can't get to five, but 8-4 is certainly on the table with Syracuse, Georgia, at Alabama, at Florida. Don't discount Pavia. Oklahoma's probably not going to be a slouch. I'm with you. I hear you. I'm going to keep saying it, and you're on the same page. DJ Lagway cannot stay healthy, and it's going to cost Florida. Look at their early schedule. You know, and you hate to call somebody injury prone, right? That's not what you want to do, because some people just have bad luck for a couple of things, and then they never get hurt again. But you've had hamstring, shoulder, now ankle. It's starting to add up rather quickly. And then when you have a stretch of at LSU, at Miami in week 3 and 4, off week Texas, at A&M, Mississippi State, off week Georgia, and then 2 weeks later you're at Ole Miss. That, I mean, that's insane. And if he, I mean, do you expect him to stay healthy through all of that? I don't. Ole Miss is properly rated. Think 15 is about right. Last year was a top 5 team, maybe top 3 at its peak performance, and they blew it. Yes. Is Arizona State supposed to be legit again? It's a major problem for State in week 2. There is a chance that they are quite good. Levitt is he's back, and I'm a big fan of his. True dual threat, really good runner, got better as a passer as the season went on. Dillingham is developing really well. That's a fascinating game, but what will they be without Scadaboo? It's hard to know until we actually see it. Doesn't really matter where Ole Miss is. Start 4-0, and you're looking at a top 10 matchup in Oxford. No kidding. Nice tweet earlier. Yeah, for those of you that don't follow me on Twitter, Peter Burns put out one of those just like open-ended tweets to get engagement, and it was, what's the moment you knew a college football team was cooked? And I accidentally downloaded a really grainy picture, but it's the hostage video, Vitter Bjork and Hugh Freeze. One of the lowest moments in Ole Miss athletics history. That picture is just so incredibly embarrassing. And compare that image to what you have now when it comes to leadership and messaging and like how they do that. I mean, you can look back and laugh about it now, because anyway, but that was that I made myself laugh in the car on the way home. What's the date and the schedule for the Hattiesburg live broadcast? So 2 weeks from tomorrow. So that will be the 20th of August, August 20th. We will be in Hattiesburg. At Ed's is where we'll be. So Oxford tomorrow, Starkville Wednesday of next week, and then Hattiesburg 2 Wednesdays from tomorrow. So every year a team from the top 10 finishes unranked. Which one will it be this year? You know who's a great candidate for that? Notre Dame. I don't think they will, but here's why it could be Notre Dame. They open at Miami. They have to play Texas A&M. They go to Arkansas. They have USC in a rivalry game. They very well could lose all 4 of those. Boise State's not going to be a slouch. NC State can certainly beat them. They have to go to Pitt. I mean, they avoided having Clemson as one of their teams from the ACC in this draw, but I mean, they could very easily start 0-2. Very easily start 0-2 with at Miami and Texas A&M. So, could be them. I don't love Alabama at all. Could be them. I'm a big believer in Clemson. I'm a very anti-believer in Penn State. Maybe it's them. Let's see. Their schedule is probably a joke, isn't it? Nevada, FIU, Villanova is how they start their season. Nevada, FIU, Villanova. But they have Oregon. They have to go to UCLA, host Northwestern, go to Iowa, go to Ohio State, host Indiana, go to Michigan State, host Nebraska, go to Rutgers. So it could be Penn State too, although my goodness, this schedule. Oregon and at Iowa and Ohio State's not easy, but my goodness, this schedule is gross. But hey, the Big Ten, SEC are equal. Yes, I definitely think it's realistic that Southern Miss wins that game over Mississippi State in week 1. Absolutely. They have a quarterback that can do it. a coach that can do it, a roster that's significantly better than it was last year. So, imagine how crazy it would be if Southern Miss was the G5 playoff team this year. That would be insane. Going from 1-11 to the playoff in 1 year would be absolutely insane. What do I think about Trinidad? So I've been saying Chambly. I guess it's not Chambly, although I wish it was Chambly. Getting some special packages. So here's my concern about that. Here's my question about that. When you put him in the game at quarterback, that means Austin Simmons is not taking the snap at quarterback. So what do you mean by special package? I've been thinking about that because he's athletic. He can run. So would it just be like a one-off wildcat type situation? If that's the case, that's fine with me. I get that, whatever. But if you're talking about where he takes a series or something like that, I don't like that. Because, again, if we're going to talk about how special Austin Simmons is, and there's a chance that he is special, we have to remember to call that a chance too, by the way. There's a chance that he's special, but it's okay if he's not immediately. He deserves some grace if it's not perfect right away. And I hope that we're not overhyping him. Haydad said something earlier that kind of struck me. It's like, are we levying unrealistic on immediate Austin Simmons? It's possible that we are. I hope everybody will understand if it doesn't click immediately. I'm sure it will, but there might be some growing pains, and that's okay. But if he's as special as people think he is, then reducing the number of snaps he takes at quarterback doesn't seem smart either. So if it's a one-off, sure. But if you're giving him series, if you're doing any sort of shuffling, that doesn't make sense. You're the only one that thinks making the stadium smaller with amenities in turn giving state the distinction of Mississippi's largest stadium a terrible idea. Just shouldn't give them that honor. My counterpoint would be, who cares? Nobody cares. They haven't had a real sellout in 6 seasons. So what if you have extra seats? But Ole Miss doesn't need to reduce capacity either. Not right now. Since state recruiting needs to improve with at least 2 flips by the end of the year, have good piece, but missing big in-state guys. Yeah, the old two things can be true at once. There are good in-state players that they would love to have, but also as long as they're getting adequate players, it doesn't matter where they come from. I mean, kid from outside of Mobile just committed to Oregon recently. I think ultimately these guys, players have gone out of state for school forever, and it works out often. But this trend where it's a lot more common, I think, is ultimately going to backfire on some of these guys, because if you want to come back to your home state and you're performing in Oregon, you don't have the legacy to fall back on the way a guy from the state who performs in the state and comes back to the state would have. We've talked about that before. As long as they're getting players, though, it doesn't matter where they come from, as long as they're getting good enough ones. If you told me that Ole Miss is this year's Tennessee from last year, would you buy it? Overlooked and backdoored themselves into the playoffs? That makes sense. Because as you said, if Ole Miss leaves Norman with 2 losses, then they will be favored to make the playoff. Yeah. Since you keep saying Kamario Taylor will play, over under Mississippi State starts 2.5 quarterbacks over the course of the season. Over. Overrated? Question mark. Who knows? Nobody knows. That's. But what else are we going to talk about right now? Think it's possible Ole Miss could schedule Notre Dame in the near future? You say, I get that you don't want to schedule games like that, but if Arkansas can do it, Ole Miss can too. I would love that. I would absolutely love that. 100%. I mean, that would be great. We've talked about it in the past, about the possibility of Notre Dame joining the SEC. I think that would be ultimately awesome. Geographically, it does touch Kentucky, so we're good there. But, no, I think that would be awesome for Ole Miss to play Notre Dame. Them allowing Cal to cancel that series concerns me. I'm afraid that you're not going to get awesome marquee non-conference matchups anymore. They're just going to try to get the Purdue's of the world to sign on. Where's this random Penn State national love coming from? They've done nothing to earn it. Well, they made the playoff last year and won a playoff game, two playoff games. So that's why. And they returned their quarterback in a lot of pieces. Would Levy survive the year with the loss to Southern Miss? No, he would not. Call me boring, but I think Alabama's going to win 10 games in the playoff. You're not the only one. And they certainly can do it. That road trip to Missouri, though, is not easy. That could be the game that they slip up on. Safest bet there is, Alabama's going to be fine, probably. What if Chambliss lined up at running back and throws on a halfback pitch? If they want to get super cute like that, it better work. They should put Xavier Harris or Perkins at running back like Freeze would do, or like Kiffin would do with Pegues. High school recruiting's never meant less than it does today. As long as the shift that appears to be happening doesn't keep happening, where there's fewer and fewer quality players in the portal. Ole Miss has kind of gotten out ahead, sort of gotten out ahead of that. They've started emphasizing high school more and having success in the high school portal more. That helps for sure. But if the quality of the portal drops off again, like it did last year, it might start mattering more again. And to think they should be playing USC in a few weeks in the Coliseum as well would have been awesome. Do you think, despite our hate, Aller will be a first-round pick and destroy a franchise? Absolutely. They're going to fall in love with his size that they are and his arm strength. That when put in application is not good. See, this is why NFL people kind of blow my mind. Because last year's quarterback class sucked, right? Oh, it was awful. So terrible. Cam Ward, Jackson Dart, none of these guys are any good. Blah, 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 blah. And then you guys really got to check out this Drew Aller kid. It's like, wait, hold on a second. If Penn State had Jackson Dart, they would have been much better a year ago. Drew Aller's leading receiver transferred to Ole Miss to stop playing with Drew Aller. Okay. Like, you can't on one hand talk about how awful last year's quarterback class is, and then on the other, try to hype up Drew Aller to any of us. So, can you explain why every year they have injuries to major players coming out of fall camp? What's going on? Have they, like, had a disproportionate amount of injuries, though? I mean, maybe I'm missing something. I think that sometimes, though, because it's your team, you know so much more about their players, even in the portal era, and injury status and stuff like that. Florida had a running back have hamstring surgery this week. Did you guys know that? So I think part of it is a hyper-focus on your team, which is, of course, is a good thing. That's what you do. But, I mean, especially this camp, that they knock on wood when it comes to actual football. Anyway, the injury situation is fine, relatively speaking. Other programs are losing more guys to injury. I just think it's part of the game, and you only notice it more from Ole Miss because you know more Ole Miss players. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm totally off base on that. You're supposed to be in L.A. for that as well. I've been putting your money away for that trip, and it got canceled. Gosh, what a shame. You would have had a great time. What's Penn State's marquee win since 2016 under Franklin? The two playoff games this past year. I know it's SMU and Boise State, but they count. Do you think the wheels could come off Oklahoma by the time Ole Miss gets there? I would bet on that right now, to be honest with you. I would bet on that. Very easily could be there, have four losses by the time Ole Miss comes to town. Austin, appreciate you, man, with the super chat. And we'll end on this one as well. If the SEC decides to cut fat, how scared should State be? What does that look like for them? I could be wrong, and I appreciate you. Again, I could be wrong. If it's the SEC existing as the Southeastern Conference, nobody's getting cut, I don't think. The only way teams would get left behind is if a new super league thing is formed. If it's just the SEC existing as is, nobody's getting left behind. What happened with Washington State and Oregon State was the Pac-12 dissolved, and the Big Ten absorbed some, and the Big 12 absorbed some, and then those two were just left behind. The SEC will not dissolve unless it chooses to absorb itself with somebody else and create something new. So everybody's safe if as long as the league continues to exist. So if they had made the playoff in place of Tennessee, do they beat Ohio State or anyone in the playoff for that matter? A lot of teams in the playoff I think they would have matched up well with. Hell, they would have matched up well with Notre Dame. You know they matched up well with Georgia. Matched up well with Indiana, Boise State, Arizona State. I think they would have given Texas hell. That defense, guys, would have kept them in every single game. Ohio State was too well-rounded, I think, for Ole Miss, though. Ohio State would have beaten Ole Miss. I think Ohio State was the best team in college football. They just vomited all over themselves against Michigan. But that defense could have beaten anybody. I know they lost three games, but again, as you guys know, it wasn't because of defense. That defense could have kept them in every game that they played. So anyway, appreciate you guys. We'll be back on Thursday, and I'll see you then. Y'all have a good night.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.